Hey, it's time once again for another beautiful, gorgeous, sexy,
crunchy,
some pig episode of Movie Mastery. This is a radiant episode we've got here. I am John, and over there is Jeff. We are your hosts. As you probably know, I doubt this is your first episode, but if so, hey, welcome.
Welcome to the show. Here's some things you're going to need to know. First, keep your hands and legs inside the show.
Yeah, just shove them up in there.
Mm-hmm. Hold on to small, loose personal items.
Yeah, check under your seat.
Mm-hmm. Check under your seat for small, loose personal items.
Or Pennywise the clown.
If you find Pennywise under your seat, make sure to run away from him or help small children run away from him first.
Yeah, first, save yourself, then save small children.
Now, this is not a good idea because Pennywise only wants small children.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, he'll fuck up whoever. It don't matter.
Will he? I thought he only went after children or children he didn't get on the first shot.
Children or children that grew up.
The ones what got away.
Yeah, that's his problem. He's got to get those ones that got away.
That's why you have that famous scene in comic books where there's four Pennywises sitting around talking about how they almost got the bat.
All those different Pennywises.
One of them's like, I threw a rock at him.
And they were like, oh,
it was
Pennywise the band. What are you doing here?
Yeah, it's Tim Curry, the new guy, Peter Sarsgaard or something like that, or Sarsgaard. Okay,
yeah,
and also the band Pennywise,
and also the band Pennywise. Yes, mm-hmm.
And then the actual Pennywise from the book,
and then the book Pennywise. Yeah. Yes, and the book Pennywise is just like, God, you would not believe the fucked up shit that happens in my sewer.
I'm from such a weird, crazy place. I can't believe they made two things out of me.
God, I am on so much cocaine right now.
Excuse me, I gotta write the Tommyknockers.
Anyway, this is the movie podcast where we watch movies you recommend. We don't know what we are going to watch until we sit down to watch it. We got a big old fat list of about 200 some odd movies. We randomly roll to see what we're going to get, and this week's selection was a juicy little tale called Crash and Burn.
A juicy little tale.
A sweet little morsel called Crash and Burn. A sousson of weird dystopianness, but mostly just alien without the alien.
A delicious tidbit of ribaldry.
Quite so. Top men.
A boot black. So, and some buxom maidens.
Well, now you're just doing weird things.
Yes, I am. I'm just doing weird things.
You're just getting all mixed up in here.
I'm trying to throw you off your game, John.
I'm sorry. I become a Cajun all of a sudden, India. We're going to do this whole thing in a Cajun.
This is what happens when I throw you off your game too hard.
It's true. You threw me so hard off my game, I became a character.
You became a Cajun fellow.
I became Leatherneck, known alligator villain of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That's true. Although he is technically a crocodile.
No, he's an alligator.
No, he's a crocodile.
It's an alligator.
He was on vacation in the American South.
Then why does he have the accent?
Because the mutation.
Yeah, he mutated an accent.
He mutated. It's an ordinary crocodile from a non-southern location got mutated with a really Cajun guy.
Just a lot of Cajun spices. Together.
I mean, how did the Ninja Turtles get their New York accent? I guess
they grew up in New York. Yeah. You piece of shit. I'm walking here.
They grew up in New York talking to no one and just watching TV.
Well, all they did was hear all of the people above them on sewer grates being like, hey, what's the matter you? And other things that
they were taught to speak English by a rat with a thick Japanese accent.
Yeah, well, they also absorbed the culture around them.
Okay, I'm willing to buy that. That's fine. I think we've resolved this conflict, John.
Good, great.
Uh-huh. You want to celebrate with hot cocoa?
Ooh, no.
No.
It's so warm.
No, thank you. How about cold cocoa?
Mmm, delicious cold cocoa. Can I just have a chocolate bar?
You can have a cold cocoa, and we'll get you a couple of ice-cold s'mores.
Mmm, them ice-cold s'mores. Nothing better than a frozen marshmallow on a hot day, and you just suck on it.
You just gnaw it. Just gnaw it like a beaver on a log. Yes. You gnaw it like Popeye.
Yeah. That's...
So Crash and Burn.
Crash and Burn. Crash and Burn is a sci-fi movie from, like, 1991?
Exactly 1990. The 1990-est.
There you go. And it is...
It's a full moon feature.
It's from Full Moon. And if you know anything about Full Moon, they did like Puppet Master and Demonic Toys and a whole bunch of just shit movies.
Doll Man.
And yeah, so this is them doing, like I said, pretty much Alien without an alien. Like they just took all of the space features out of Alien and then made that.
Pretty much, yeah. No, that's a straight way to do this. It's literally, what if the warehousey ship from Alien was just a warehouse, and instead of an alien, there just wasn't?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's more or less what this is.
Pretty much.
Oh, and instead of a rad lady that it stars, it's just a crappy dude.
It's one of those dudes with very, like, 1989 hair.
Mm-hmm.
That's not quite a mullet, but just real, real puffed up, nice looking hair.
Starring the third backup touring guitarist for Mr. Big.
The whole movie, you know, we're gonna get into the full spoiler review after some music, but man,
haircuts by Jefferson Starship.
This movie was just nothing. It was so like very by the book for what it was, but it lied up front about what it was.
There was a point, well, it lies before you start watching about what it's going to be. And I think we can tell people what it's going to be and then cut to commercial. Here's what you think it is based on the cover of the movie. A cool movie like Robot Jocks about giant robots that stomp around and kill people.
Yeah, there's going to be a giant robot and they've got to kill that giant robot to save humanity.
Mm-hmm. And there's a dude with a motorcycle and he's probably a part of it.
Part of it.
So after the break, I think we can probably tell them what it actually is.
Sure.
Yeah.
We're going to have a little music, and then we're going to be back with the full spoilery review of Crash and Burn. But you know that it's over. Hey, it's time for Crash and Burn, baby.
It's a bad zombie movie.
It really feels like it's going to be.
Yeah, at the very beginning, I was all on board with this because the very, very beginning of the movie is a dude with a goof-ass mullet in a stupid white clean suit rages across the American Southwest desert on a cool motorcycle. And then he stops at a random gas station where he has to talk to a crazy old gas station attendant. And they have a fun sci-fi conversation.
Well, yeah, we get our sort of world-building exposition there where it's like, oh, the ozone layer has depleted so much that it's pretty much just like super unsafe to be outside without protection for any amount of time.
Yeah, the UV radiation will melt your little brain. And so you got to stay outside in a cold suit because it's 110 degrees outside. I'm like, fuck you. That's what it is in Arizona right now. Come on, 1980. Get with the program.
But that was winter.
Yeah, it's true. That was winter and night side out. Yeah, it's still Arizona.
So the whole thing is we also get along the whole alien lines is there's just sort of like a company that owns everything. It's Unicom.
Mm-hmm. There's Unicom, the one company. And also, it can only be ridden by a virgin.
Oh, I get it.
You get it?
I get it.
Because unicorn?
Yeah, it's like a communications company that only had one horn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Or just if the name of the company was Unicorn and they got their kerning kind of bad when they did the graphic design, it would kind of look like it just said Unicom.
It could.
Yeah.
It could look like
if they wrote it in lowercase letters.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they did.
Mm-hmm.
I choose to believe that. And then they just added an extra M later for shits.
I mean, then it'd be Unicornum.
Unicom.
Oh, was there two M's in Unicom?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Communications, and communications got double M's.
Yeah, but only if you spell the whole thing out. I mean, telecom has one M.
Yeah, but Unicom's got two M's.
Okay, fair enough. I'm willing to buy that.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just talking out of my ass here.
I'm just talking about your ass here because damn.
Can we take a moment and just really talk about my ass real quick?
I must be a Cadillac driver because I want to pull up to that bumper.
Why specifically a Cadillac driver?
It sounded good for the flow of the line.
You know, it sounded All right.
Don't pick apart my pickup lines.
I will, sir. That's what I do.
This is why you never get laid by me.
Yep, that's why. That's the only reason why.
That's the one.
That's if I had to really just nail down the reason why I don't get nailed down.
It's because you're too nitpicky about my pickup lines.
Yeah, you keep throwing out these pickup lines, and I'm like, well, actually, from a scientific standpoint.
Did it hurt when you rolled down the stairs from heaven?
Well, actually, you know, if I was rolling down the stairs from heaven, that would probably hurt quite a bit, yes. I did not. I am now Professor Frank. This is my new invention.
Is that a mirror in your pocket? Because I'm happy to see you.
It is. I do have a mirror in my pocket.
With a glaven.
I sort of started to transition to Mayor from Powerpuff Girls there at the end.
Okay, so anyway, he has a cool sci-fi conversation about how there's a single company that controls everything, and he works for it. He's some sort of motorcycle courier for them.
Yeah, I guess they were like, oh, we need people to deliver things, and it's, I guess, more efficient to put a dude in a weird suit on a motorcycle to go deliver a little bit than have trucks go deliver actual stuff.
Yeah, so he talks to an old gas station attendant dude about a guy on TV named Lathan Hooks, who's just an old man who has a TV station out in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Yep.
And he's like, I have business with that guy, Lathan Hooks. And it's supposed to be like, oh, this guy's got important business with Lathan. This might be scary. No, he literally is out there to deliver some Freon to this guy.
Yeah, he's not like, oh, I've got business with you. It's, hey, I got a delivery here. You're basically like the dystopian UPS guy.
He's just a bike messenger. This is not a cool dude. I mean, for one thing, he has the haircut of a guy in Jefferson Starship. For another thing, he's dressed like he's a Devo.
For another thing, he's dressed like he's in Jefferson Starship.
That's almost true,
and
yeah.
For a third thing, he is actually in Jefferson Starship.
That's him. He's the guy from Jefferson
Starship.
That's him,
Jefferson Starship himself.
Anyway, there's some business here where, you know, they talk about how kerosene and methane are the only kinds of gas anyone argues or wants. He buys some kerosene from this old dude. This old dude's rangy, weirdo, like young boy henchman comes out. He's like a dude who's like, oh, I got mutated by the sun too bad.
Yeah, the whole thing is he's supposed to have been out in the sun too long and the UV has baked his brain.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, man, if you've been out in the sun way too long and the UV radiation is doing stuff to you, you're probably not like, oh, I got goofy. You're probably just like, I got tumors.
I got cancer. Like, they do fuck up his face a little bit. He's got some bubbles and stuff.
He's got a couple of bubbles.
But it's also like the radiation messed up his teeth.
Yeah,
they gave him
I guess.
Wicked British smile for some reason.
Yeah, and it's wicked British.
That's right. And his name's like Ranger or something, but he's just a big, dumb, stupid who works. He's just a piece of local color. Actually, I kind of like the character at the time.
Yeah, a little crispy guy.
Yeah. And then after negotiating for kerosene, our hero, whose name we still don't know, also negotiates for dried food, as he puts it. And our gas station attendant goes away, comes back with a big bag of snake jerky, and is like, all I got's left is this here snake jerky. You want it? And I guess it's supposed to be like, ew, gross, snake jerky. Instead of, yeah, that's the kind of shit they sell in New Mexico. Fuck you.
Yeah, I have definitely bought that on the way to Vegas before.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
No, it's
why would you be like, ew,
good.
No.
Ew, snake jerky. What next do you have? Do you have some goat? Well, anyway, he goes, nah, keep your dumb snake jerky. And then he goes outside and gets on his cool motorcycle and blasts across the desert.
Well, on the TV, in the thing, we have to establish that Lathan Hooks is anti-establishment.
Yes, he's anti-establishment. He gives a little bit of a speech that gets cut off by the man.
Yeah, he is the like main news guy for whatever the TV station is locally that he just sort of runs.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's got a rant about how like the company is trying to keep information about the rebellion group, the ILU, ILF?
I think it's the ILU. I think it was the Interesting Libertarian Union or something. I don't know what it was.
It wasn't interesting and libertarian because that never happens.
That's not a thing. You're right. I'm sorry.
So there's a news story about like some group of these resistance fighters get taken down, and then he's like, oh, they can't handle it. No, we're gonna see more people rise up, and then it gets cut off.
Join the ILU, the It's Lionel Utz brand potato chips.
Good.
I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
I'm pretty sure.
So Yeah, we go blasting across the desert to an establishing shot that we're going to see 1,000 times, an old power plant with a big satellite dish sticking out of it for some reason.
Yep.
And so we stop there, and then we cut to a TV show. And the TV show is a fat, mean guy interviewing two prostitutes who he is alternately mean to and leering at.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the scene starts with just a couple people having sex.
That's right. We start on some softcore porn.
Where you don't see anything, and he's just like, look at that, audience. How could you possibly do something like that?
Look at that horrible filth. Look at just look at it. Oh, mercy. Basically is what he says.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to one of the two women who I think is supposed to have been in that particular porn. I didn't think so. I didn't stop to look. It could very well be that they just cast a softcore porn actor or just showed a quick scene from one of her movies.
Yeah.
But he's like, how could you possibly do that? And she's like, I provide a service to people. To troubled teens and lonely men.
Yeah, that's
men.
Right. To troubled teens and runaways.
And lonely men. And also to troubled youth who can't see nothing so good.
And
no
orphans.
More.
And...
Yeah. And orphans what got a rough shake.
Oh, I'll give you a rough shake.
No. So she basically is defending herself as like, well, I provide an important service.
Yeah, I like what I do,
and I'm proud
and
of
I'm good at it.
Yeah. And then he's like, that's filthy and disgusting, and I'm a prurient fat old man who wants to fuck you still.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, he's very, Rush Limbaugh about
it. Yeah, he very much is.
He's like, these damn women showing all of their breasts now, if only they'd show them to me.
Yeah, pretty much. And then he starts taking some callers from some callers, and his name is Winston Wicket, and it's the Winston Wicket Show.
Yeah.
So he gets a caller, and the caller's like, I don't want to sleep with no human prosties. I miss the synthoid prosties, but robot women was cleaner and better at sexing than these human ones.
All these viruses came back once we went to the human prosties.
Yeah, they keep saying prosties. So.
I fucking love that. And it's a problem that I look at and I go, yeah, but you could do prostos, and that's a way cooler sounding thing, and it's just easier to do prosto.
Why not just stoots?
Yeah, these stoots.
I'd be way more excited about these stoots.
See, now that wouldn't be the American Southwest, though. That would be the American Northeast. You'd be like, hey, look at all these non-synth stoots.
Two stoots.
I got these two stoots.
Could you please approach the bench, sir? What is two stoots?
You know, two stoots.
These two stoots. But anyway, we find out that prostitutes are called prosties. And actually, the beginning of this movie is full of interesting little tidbits about the world of the future and the slang that they use now and so on. And we're rapidly approaching a twist in the movie, at which point they abandon all of that and never do any of it again.
None of this buildup matters because they keep doing this whole thing where, like, oh, there's Unicom, and it's this oppressive big brother type, like, mm-hmm. the governments are only, like, there nominally, but Unicom is in charge of stuff, and there's all of this information about, like, oh, we used to have a big war, and there were synthetic humans and giant robos.
And now we've got all these cool slang words for each other. We keep calling people prosties and drits and fried brain and all these other things. And then all of it gets abandoned in service of what the movie is in just a short time. And once they started laying out the wheels, both John and I were like, hey, I know what's going to happen for the rest of this movie, don't you?
Like, this is what should be happening, but they kind of aren't doing it because that's not the plot.
Yeah, but at a certain point, I was like, scene by scene, I know what's going to happen in this movie. Literally to the last thing that happens in the movie. And I was right. I feel bad.
Yeah. It is a very by-the-numbers movie. Like, uh-huh. There's nothing here that you're going to go like, ooh, how interesting.
Yeah, the only thing about this movie that's not by the numbers is that they spend all this time setting up a cool world and then just ignore it.
Yeah. And that's, they're like, let's tell you all about this crazy world that we live in, and then that doesn't matter. We're just going to sit inside this warehouse somewhere.
So it pulls back from the gross-ass Winston Wicket show to reveal that there's a young woman working the camera.
Yeah, she looks back, and there's our hero?
Yeah, and you can tell this young woman is going to be the main character woman of the movie because she's wearing T-shirt and overalls. She's got some suspenders on. So she's not a prostitute. She's a hard-working woman who's exactly as sexy as the prostitutes. So she sees our hero there in his filthy refrigerator suit with his horrifying power mullet with his ape drape.
He is looking very, old school Evel Knievel right now,
yeah,
in his full white jumpsuit.
And here's where we're going to start to hate this guy, because apparently he just can't interact with women without just talking about what they look like. But anyway, she kind of is working the camera, so he can't really interact with her. But he kind of gets disgusted and just walks away. It's almost like he's just planning to leave.
Like, he's just sitting, well, he's watching the show, and he's like, "Ugh,
I hate this.
This is garbage."
And so he wanders off, and then our man Lathan Hooks comes stepping out of a building and is like, or the door, and is like, "Hey, man, young man, can I help you?"
Yeah, I'm looking for Lathan Hooks.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's me. What do you want? I'm here from Unicom. Oh, good. I have a lot of thoughts about that.
I hate Unicom.
Well, it turns out that Lathan Hooks here ordered some Freon from Unicom a while back. Because he
and
needs it.
Boy,
for,
howdy, he's got four cans of it.
Yeah, he's got four whole cans of Freon all ready to deliver. But it happened so long ago that Lathan Hooks has forgotten he ordered it. So instead, he's just like, "What are you even doing here, Unicom man? We don't want your kind or your type or your disposition in my establishment.
I don't want a Unicom man with a Unicom plan."
And then finally, the guy's like, "I'm here to deliver your Freon." He's like, "Oh, yeah, I did order Freon from you guys. I hate Amazon, but I need that two-day delivery."
"All right, well, I'm going to send my daughter out with you."
Yeah.
"Please, my sexy daughter."
"Take my sexy daughter." So the two of them just go out to get the Freon from this guy's motorcycle, which involves them both walking without any kind of protective equipment or even sunglasses directly out into the super sun, which apparently only matters during scenes when it matters.
Well, yeah. I mean, it matters only if you're like, "Oh, we're going to be out here for a bit," apparently, because you can just sort of walk out there in a tank top and pants and be like, "Ah, I'm fine.
Everything's A-okay." And, you know, he...
And again, he needed the daughter to come out there to help him with... For, and when I say, like, tanks of Freon, I mean like a liter of Freon.
Yeah, it's like he's got about 2 liters of soda in total, but it's Freon.
Yeah.
You better send this little girl out here to help with it.
Oh, my, I don't know if you'll be able to carry that.
So he's asking her questions about how everything came together, and she's like, "Oh, I haven't..." Oh, I'm sorry, he doesn't specifically do that. She says something snarky to him, and his response is, "Did your parents make any more like you?" Got any sisters I could also leer at, basically, is what he's trying to get at. And she's like, "No, my parents are dead."
"Oh, I'm Batman.
I live with my grandfather, Lathan Hooks. You see, we live here in a factory, and this is my expository period. I made stuff out of that junkyard yonder," she says, pointing to a junkyard with an obvious giant robot half sticking out of it.
God damn it. This is the most disappointing thing, because he drives in, and before he, like, comes into the factory, you can kind of see an outline of a giant robo, and she points it out, and he's like, "Oh, that's an old DV-8 unit," and, you know, we get some information about, oh, there used to be, like, a big war or whatever, and they had these giant robo units, but they eventually just shut them down.
And it takes years to train on how to make these things walk. Basically, it's like this is the afterthought story of Pacific Rim.
It's like someone just went, "Oh, we did the sequel to Robot Jocks when everyone just decided Robot Jocks was a dumb idea and abandoned them."
I mean, Robot Jocks has a sequel. Maybe we'll watch it someday. It's called Robot Wars.
Robot Jock Wars.
Yeah. It's called Robot Jocks Straps.
Strapped and ready.
"What even are these?" raves Roger Ebert. "Why would you want your whole butt out?" says, I don't know, Peter Travers of Rolling Stone.
The weird bit about this is you see that, and the, I mean, like we mentioned, sort of the opening thing for this when you go to order the movie and it gives you that little, like, "Oh, what's a synopsis of this like?"
Mm-hmm.
And it tells you that there's some evil robot that they're going to have to beat. You're like, "Oh, sweet, finally, this big robot's going to show up and they're going to tear ass around this weird country," and then they'll, I don't know, find out something about Unicom or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But no, they're like, "Ah, this is a DV-8. It does not work. Let us return inside to the building where it is cheap to film. Indeed, let us do that.
And
but first, we need to find out that the daughter is 16 years old.
16 years old, she tells him, and then he leers at her continuously for the rest of the film.
I mean, the actress was like 23,
mm-hmm.
but the fact that the movie had to go out of its way to be like, "I'm 16. Hi there," and you're like, "Oh, don't do that," especially because...
For no reason.
Yeah, well, you, like, there are definitely scenes after this where they're like, "Hey, it's time for you to gaze at this character in a sexy fashion."
Yeah, there's a part where she's examining her own boobs in a mirror. I mean, she has a bra on, but she's sitting there looking at herself,
like,
in a bra.
She undresses in a bathroom and then is, like, pushing her boobs together and is,
yeah,
like, "Oh, I wish I were more developed." And I'm like, don't what do we do?
What are we doing here? And then she's going to end up with that dude from Jefferson Starship. This isn't going to be good. By the way, we finally get his name right around here. It's Keen. Tyson Keen.
Yeah, he's Tyson Chicken, and he's here to do a job. And that job is deliver these 4 1-liter bottles of Freon.
And then blast his way back across the desert in his custom-made cold suit.
Great.
Anyway, it turns out that while they're standing around out there and he's kind of hitting on her, even though he recently learned how old she is, I guess because Incom or Unicom or whatever doesn't have a statute of limit. Wait, not, you know.
Yeah, a statute of limitations.
They also don't have a statute of limitations, as it turns out.
For
sleeping with someone who's under the legal age, there's no statute of limitations on that crime, so he could be persecuted forever, but he don't care because he's Tyson Keem. There, I solved it.
There, you did it.
I did it.
You
it's
worked
all fine.
Your way back around.
Yeah, I got all the way through it. Basically, they're standing around outside, and she goes, you know, when the air is still like this, that means a thermals are coming.
Yeah, we don't get any information on what a thermal is, just that it gets hotter.
I think it's long underwear.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, I think long underwear.
Long underwear is coming.
And it's coming fast.
Everyone inside.
And it's going to cross fight with the brothers. And you know, let's get back to those brothers, because they've got a real interesting bond.
So they gotta...
It's called Two Brothers.
They gotta get inside. And then we get introduced to pretty much the last two characters that we need to find.
Uh-huh.
One is the teacher, apparently, that exists out here that does teaching via television?
Yeah, she's on some kind of two-way television where she's teaching two or three students about American history. But she can hear them talk, but you can't see them or anything. And she's sitting in front of a map, and she's got a weird globe with her, and she basically manages to rattle off another 2 minutes or so of information about the Unicom and the failed governments.
Oh, why is it that we'll never have to worry about a failed government again? Oh, it's because Unicom took over, and so...
And Unicom doesn't pursue the same things as America. It's invested in the pursuit of life, liberty, and the pursuit of economic stability.
Yes, it is pursuing the pursuit of economic stability.
Hey, man, it's pretty far out ahead.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's got a head start. I'm not going to lie.
There's a whole pursuit chain in the way. So she's basically gives the last little chunk of exposition. And then
he has to be like, hey, what a sexy broad.
She's a little too hot for a school teacher, he says, not having watched any porno ever.
And, you know, she's like, oh, if you're into that kind of thing, by the way, I'm 16 and we should bone down. And he's like, yeah, I think so.
Her name, the 16-year-old name is Aaron, by the way. So Aaron is like, yeah, I guess she's hot if you're into that type. Instead of the type I am, which is an illegal 16-year-old.
Which is underage.
Yeah. Meanwhile, you're like 42.
Yeah.
The earliest.
Like, it wouldn't be as bad if it was like, hi, I'm an 18-year-old delivery kid and I don't know what's going on. Hi, everybody. I'm a teenager.
Dropped your taco in the fire, sir.
Oh, no. That comes out of my paycheck. If I had a girlfriend, she'd kill me.
There you go. That's the character we want.
There it is.
Instead, the dude is a washed-up roadie.
Oh, yeah. This guy is definitely someone named Crunchy who has done some work for the Stones.
Literally never doesn't have a loop of cable over one shoulder.
But... then we get our very last member of the group here, which is
Quinn.
They tell him you're going to have to stay here for the thermal, which might be a couple days, so you're going to bunk with Quinn. And Quinn is the local technician and handyman and the guy who keeps things running.
And you can tell he's the bad guy immediately, because when they're like, he's the general handyman and guy, and all he does is go, hello, and then Tyson waves back, hello, and that's the full extent of it.
Also, he sounds... way too much like Will Forte.
Yeah, with your eyes closed, this character is Will Forte.
Yeah, if you just close your eyes and let Quinn talk, you're like, oh, that's weird. Why was Will Forte in this?
I mean, to be fair, a lot of his lines are straight up just Will Forte lines. I don't know why he keeps talking about why he's the last man on Earth.
Yeah.
And there's also a point where he just goes, it was the greatest beer in all the world! And you're like, wow, that's a weird line for him to have. There's not even any
strange beer
in this movie.
He changed to German all of a sudden. Yeah, never like that normally.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, but he just sounds so much like Will Forte.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, this character is definitely and obviously the bad guy from the word go.
Well, the movie almost is trying to make you think it's the Prosties.
Because there's
a point where they're having dinner and...
Oh, that's right. There's the famous dinner scene.
Yeah, they're all having dinner and there's a... like some valve there that's showing like how much power is being stored or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they do this cut between like showing that meter and then showing the prostitutes looking at it and then back and forth. And you're like, ooh, they're interested in something. They're not what they seem.
So the so basically, right before everyone went outside to get the Freon, Winston Wickett and the two prostitutes left together. The idea was that they were going to go to like a motel or something and get dinner and also have sex in a hotel room.
Yeah.
But instead, once Tyson Keene is convinced to stay in this warehouse for a couple of days while the thermal blows over, he goes to have dinner with everybody who's still there when Winston and the prostitutes show up. And they're like, it was too dangerous to drive around. We came back.
Yeah.
And now we're all stuck here together, so you can tell this is definitely a movie where one of us is a crazed killer.
Yeah, we're all stuck in this
warehouse
that we can't leave, so either this is a zombie movie or this is a murder movie.
Yeah, and that's the only options that are possibly available. But the dinner has got to be the creepiest dinner ever, because the only people there are the school teacher, Lathan, Tyson, Aaron, and Quinn. And Quinn's just making fun of Aaron for not having big enough boobs.
Oh, yeah. Because the teacher's like, oh, you're from the coast or whatever?
I'm from Oceanside.
Have you ever seen anyone use the ocean? Yeah, occasionally. Oh, well, I always wondered what it would be like to wear one of those bikinis I've heard about from the past.
And it's like you'd look exactly the same as you do in your underwear, because your underwear is an 80s bikini.
Yeah.
So you'd look like that. You'd wear way too high of a waist of an underwear thing. Like, I swear, her underwear tops out well up over her belly button. It's old people underwear. But she looked like that. She knows. But anyway, that prompts Quinn to be like, we'll never see you in a bikini, younger 16-year-old girl, because you don't have big enough adult boobs yet.
You wouldn't be able to fill it out.
Like, this is not polite dinner conversation for when there's a stranger at the table, you know?
Like, okay, I understand that you're trying to do this scene to establish that, like, oh, these are all friends and they joke around, but dude, don't joke around about the 16-year-old's tits. Like, don't do that.
That's not...
Please... Please do not.
The grandfather comes walking out to the table. I'm late. I'm sorry. Did we start in on my granddaughter and her tits yet?
Huh? I love that part of the dinner.
Mosquito bites. Am I right? Huh? Up top. High five. What? No? No.
Anyone?
Someone already made that one, huh? Didn't they? Yeah.
Well,
that's okay. Sunken chest, just like a pirate. Anyone? Middle school jokes about boobies.
Ah, fine.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, it is unfortunate. And then, of course, when Winston shows back up, he's like, hey, couldn't get to a hotel because of that thermal. Anyway, where am I going to be sleeping so I can fuck these two?
And they're like, go to the clinic because there's a hospital in here?
Yeah, there's a clinic for if desert wastoids show up. And that's the first time where you're like, oh, this could be a zombie film. It could be like weird UV irradiated people show up.
Yeah, it would just be kind of like The Hills Have Eyes, right? Like a bunch of mutants show up from the desert and they have to like repel them.
Oh yeah, because they're like, oh, the thermal's coming and they're trying to break in or whatever. Yeah,
it'd be pretty neat if that's what this movie did at this point. If it diverted to others, like 12 people in the building, and outside it's, you know, The Hills Have Eyes and the eyes are assaulting Precinct 13.
The Hills Have Eyes on that precinct.
Yeah, and that would be the movie, and that'd be a pretty good movie. Instead, this is the full cast. We're never going to see anyone else.
Nope.
So we are establishing that someone's a murderer. These three get sent down to the clinic where they set up in beds. It's established that one of the two prosties, I think her name was Amanda, wants drugs because there's drugs in the clinic. And the other one's like, no, we agreed not to do drugs anymore. Remember, Amanda?
Remember, no more drugs.
No, oh, but I wanted to have mind fuckers, she calls them, I think.
I wanted those mind uppers.
Yeah.
And those fuck downers.
Those mind downers. Those mind laughers, screamers, poppers, and also some adrenochrome.
Good.
Yeah. We can't stop here, though.
Indeed not.
It's bat country.
And then bats attack.
I wish bats attacked.
So everyone sort of goes off to their own room, and we get a gratuitous teacher and 16-year-old undressing scene.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I looked up the ages of them. Like, the teacher and the 16-year-old are basically the exact same age when this was filmed.
Mm-hmm.
But one is supposed to be like, oh, I'm... like late 20s and you're 16, except we're both like 22.
It's going to be really fun to play a character. I'm playing a 16-year-old and I'm 23 and I have to do a whole scene where I hope my boobies come in someday.
Yeah.
And be like, I'm 23. These are my boobs. These are my actual boobs.
Thing is, it's not like, oh man, what small boobs? Like, you just have boobs.
Yeah,
like,
she had regulars. She had good old B cups or whatever, and we had to be like, no, someday she'll have the double Ds that a 1990s gentleman demands.
Yeah, someday you will show up with big old porn tits.
Yeah. Well, it's 1990. I don't want a woman unless David Lee Roth would approve of that woman.
Here in my shrine to David Lee Roth.
So, anyway, we have to watch that, and it's unpleasant. Then we cut to Nathan. Lathan yeah. Nane.
Lathan for you.
So Lathan's hanging around on top of some sort of tower thing.
Yeah, on top of old
Smokey. There's definitely a long fall he could do. And he's looking at a computer screen, and then the computer screen starts displaying gibberish. Oh, by the way, he's not allowed to have a computer. One of the things about Unicom is computers are illegal now.
Yeah, nobody gets a personal computer anymore.
Yeah, which explains why his computer is from like 1971.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, it starts displaying some gibberish.
And then we get that scene where you always have the scene where it's, oh, he looks up and he sees someone. Oh, you startled me.
What are you doing here?
Oh, no. Oh.
I'm being attacked by you.
I can't say your name, but you, someone I know here, is attacking me.
I can't refer to your job title either.
I will not say a name nor indicate a gender. I will, however, say I do know you, so it is someone in this building. I will not reference the degree to which I know you. Close friend, stranger, unknown. Anyway, I've talked a while, gotta go.
The person who murdered me is not the person who came to the bake sale in a red sweater.
However, the person who killed me did have green boots.
And brought a blueberry dessert of some kind. And then he gets pushed off a tower thing, or his hands stomped,
and he falls off and lands on some electrical thing,
and dies. And dies quite messily, sir.
Sir?
Very messy. No, not really, because you don't see him land.
I mean, you see him.
Yeah, fair enough, but it's not like he explodes or anything cool.
Yeah, it's a shame. Not like in normal life where you fall a story and explode.
I'm just saying, I wanted to see some goop in this movie. There's very little of anything.
There's very little of anything in this. I mean, at least one of the things you expect from something like a Troma or a Full Moon or any of those types of movies is, all right, this is going to be garbage schlock, but at least, like, heads are going to explode.
Yeah,
shit.
That's what from a Troma film. I mean, come on, with the with Toxic Avenger, where that dude gets hit by like the weightlifting machine or something.
Yeah, man,
there's some good shit in there.
There's some good old fashioned gore.
Yeah, there's some goopiness. There's cars hitting people and fun shit. Anyway, the dude dies, and then everyone goes into panic mode. The electricity goes out, and the two dudes have to fix it. Tyson and Quinn have to go out and fix it. And then they do, and meanwhile, there's the prostitute women and the school teacher are getting together to get some stuff ready, like looking for water and whatever. And when the power goes on, one of them has to say, thank goodness for big, strong men.
Yep. That's definitely, I think, Christy, one of the prosties.
Uh-huh. Well, there's one of them's Amanda, and the other one looks like Christina Applegate from, like,
her name is Christy.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah.
From the Married with Children era. Mm-hmm. It's true. Meanwhile, there's another character in the movie who looks like David Faustino from the Married with Children era. That's a sad situation.
Ah, yes, 1990, when Faustinos roamed the earth.
They do move in herds. The Faustino must hunt another day. Over 90% of all David Faustino hunts are unsuccessful.
You see the Faustino in front of you.
Don't see.
The one's coming in from the side.
Clever Faustino.
Clever bud. Yeah, there we go. That's our David Faustino bit.
I don't know where that came from. That was a bunch of nothing.
Good job, everyone. We had a whole bit on David Faustino. No other movie review podcast gives that to you.
Not unless David Faustino was in the movie they were talking about.
Or on the podcast.
We're the ones who go the extra mile and add him even when there's no reason to.
Look, this movie had nothing to do or even reference to David Faustino, but boy howdy, did we get him in there.
We found a way. Much like David Faustino.
Find a way.
David Faustino finds a way.
You are You dig up David Faustino's career?
All right, so there you go.
God damn it. Okay.
Mr. Hammond, after due consideration, I do not believe I can recommend David Faustino. I built a David Faustino circus. You see all the little David Faustinos?
All right, I do, mommy, I do. Unfortunately.
I don't think there's any more David Faustino to be mined from this well.
Okay, so we do finally find out eventually when, what's her name, Aaron?
Aaron, yeah.
Calls Tyson down after the power is restored and is like, hey, you need to come check something with me. And calls him down into, like, the basement somewhere. And she cuts him. And he's like, well, what the fuck are you doing? He's like, okay, I had to make sure you weren't a synthoid.
You see, some synthoids look exactly like people.
In fact, they all do. That's why they're synthoids.
Unless they're giant robos, in which
case... Well, those aren't giant. Those are giant robos, not synthoids.
Oh, okay. So synthoids are fake people, but you can cut them. And if you do, then they bleed the wrong thing.
Yeah, I guess. And she... tells him that, okay, I uncovered this incoming message that was seemed like gibberish, but when you decode it, it's a message that is the crash and burn protocol. So, hey, we get our title of the movie. And mm-hmm. that is a virus that normally synthoids are not allowed to hurt humans.
Yes.
Like, they've got the whole, you know, three robotics things going on.
Yeah, they can't do anything to a human unless they would bring... No, that's the first law.
No harm to humans. Yeah. No harm to yourself unless a human is in danger.
I think that's the third one. The second one is do whatever a human tells you unless it would put a human in danger.
Exactly.
So, yeah, so it's rule one, no harm to humans. Rule two, do whatever a human tells you provided it provides no harm to humans. Number three, don't hurt yourself unless...
it conflicts with the first two laws.
Yes, exactly. There you go.
So,
number four, Thursday's ladies' night.
Yes, obviously. Robots. Every robot is programmed with Thursday is ladies' night.
Yeah, they all know what that means.
They all know.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, she's like, some crash and burn protocol got put in. We're looking for a synthoid.
Mm-hmm. Starts making up her own rules for what synthoids do. She's like, imagine if the synthoid was programmed to kill everyone who's a threat to it. That could be really bad for us. And there's no point where he's like, well, yeah, but imagine it wasn't.
Yeah, but imagine if it was like just a synthoid that wanted to kill your grandpa because he's an asshole.
I mean, given that it did list his social security number.
Yeah, like the whole thing was just a... target is this guy.
Yeah, it wasn't just target is whoever. As far as she knows, the synthoid was supposed to kill the grandfather and then give everyone else free soda.
I mean, hell, as far as she knows, a synthoid broke in, killed him, and left because its only deal was to kill him.
Yeah, it's really unusual. Although I guess you would have to assume that someone in the building is the synthoid, because otherwise how would they get that message?
Well, otherwise why would they send the message? If you were just going to send out a synthoid you had already programmed to kill him, you wouldn't need to send the crash and burn protocol.
You could also probably build one that doesn't need to be overridden with a virus if you already had hands on the damn thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, you would just send one.
Yeah, exactly. So someone in the building is the bad synthoid.
Ah, so now we've got a classic The Thing situation, except no tension.
Yeah, we even do the same the Thing scene where we have to look at everyone's blood.
Yeah, they're like, all right, well, everyone, we're sitting around a table and I'm going to have to cut you to see if you bleed.
And she does it to everyone but herself. But our big synthoid, this is an interesting scene because there's two characters in this that are revealed to both be synthoids later, and both of them do the cut thing and they bleed normally.
Yeah. Well, later on, we find like these bottles that look like the Freon bottles that Tyson was delivering, but they are full of like...
the great, great taste of human blood.
It's like a synthetic fluid that just looks like blood, but is robo-oil?
Mm-hmm. It's robe-oil, yeah.
Yeah, it's robe-oil.
It's robe-oil. You use it to oil up your robe.
Mmm, that robe-oil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's mercury.
So it turns out that there's enough fake blood here that this whole stupid scene is pointless, as everyone in turn gets a little cut on their hand from a little lancet thing, except for when Quinn gets his cut, he immediately whips his hand around and lances open Winston, the fat guy, by the his whole hand just lances it open.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Winston was like, I don't want to get cut. Fuck you. And he's being real shady.
Yeah.
And he's like, here, let me cut someone. And so when he reaches for the knife, Quinn just sort of cuts him on the hand.
Yeah, gives him a big old cut on the hand, which gets so infected that it's hilarious.
Oh, my God.
I assume it's because it gets some robe oil in it.
Yeah, so the whole point was, oh, that infected hand is because the oil from the robo hand fake blood got in yours, and somehow that causes your entire arm to puff up like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man's?
Pretty much, yeah. So they do the whole stupid tense Who's a Robo scene, and it reveals nothing.
Yep. We don't get the, like, immediate payoff of, oh, fuck, like you do in The Thing. It's just everyone gets cut, nothing happens. Oh, good.
Here's the one thing that happens, other than the fact that the one guy's hand gets swollen up. Here's the one thing that changes as a result of this testing scene. When Erin is telling everyone her theory about that someone must be a robo in here and that the robo might be programmed to kill anyone who's a threat to it, the robo who's in here hears that and is like, oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Oh, hey, I hadn't thought of that, but I mean, yeah, probably should.
I was planning to just chill out and hang here, but
I was just programmed to kill the old guy, but I mean, fuck it. You make a good argument.
Yeah, that's a cogent point.
Damn, all right. Yeah, okay. Sure.
Yeah, all right, so I'm going to kill every one of you then. So at this point, basically, we get a love scene. We get the movie's love scene, which is
Tyson and the librarian, or
the school teacher. Tyson and the school teacher. It's also the only point in the movie where we get any non-synth music, like score music, where it plays like a dumb love song for some reason.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I want to fuck you. I want to touch you on the shoulders.
I want to fuck you all over. And over and again.
I'm the one who wants to. No, don't sing. Don't sing. You're the third backup guitarist. We talked about this. And we can build this beat dream together. No, stop. No, you're not allowed.
We can fuck this dream together.
So
we built this city on cock and balls.
That's a very good version of Built This City.
Yeah.
And Marconi can still play the mamba.
Yeah, Marconi plays the mamba.
I love
here on the city we built on cock and balls.
Do you think they knew when they were writing that mamba is just a kind of snake? And they were like, they're meant to say mambo, right? Like it's a dance, but they don't. They say Marconi plays the mamba, which is a snake.
Yeah.
It's a really weird thing for the inventor.
Originally, the lyrics were Marconi plays the ligma.
That's, way better. Yeah, thank you. Anyway, the inventor of the radio.
Ligma balls.
Ligma balls. Very thank you.
I can't not do it.
It's fine. I'm going
to
let you.
You never do it. Every time I say ligma, you never give it to me.
Okay, fine. So go set it out here.
All right. The original line was Marconi plays the ligma.
What do you mean by ligma, John? What's that mean?
Ligma balls. It is.
There. That's all I needed.
There we go.
Okay. One of my favorite character actors from the 70s, John, is Eddie Deason, but lesser known character actor Eddie Dees is also he was an important part of Grease.
Oh, really? Who was Eddie Dees?
Dees Nuts! There we go.
You know, it's weird because I heard that Eddie Dees was actually Sugandis.
I'm sorry. Who's Sugandis now?
Oh, he's Sugandis Nuts!
I could have sworn that one was going to be a balls. That was literally why I was laughing. It was because I thought you were going to say balls, but you said nuts again. And I was like, oh, nuts.
Oh, nuts.
Oh, nuts is a fun one. Everybody take nuts out for a spin today.
Everybody take nuts out.
You'll be glad you did.
I guarantee it.
Anyway, the two of them have bad sex.
Yeah, they have that classic, made-for-TV movie sex where you can't see anything.
There's nothing to be seen. Just some grunting and thrusting.
And it lasts too long.
Very much too long.
You're like, okay, I get it. You guys are having sex. There's only so long I can stare at a dude's back.
Yeah. And after they finish up with some butt bucking, we cut to Erin wandering around and discovering the mighty secret. Oh, I'm sorry. There's also a scene where it's revealed that she knows how to turn on the giant robot outside.
Oh, yeah.
She can turn it on, but all she does is turn it on and then says something to it like, keep going, buddy, and then just turns it off again.
You got this.
Yeah, you've got it, Pally-Doo.
You got the touch!
Yeah, she sings Stan Bush's You've Got the Touch to it.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Anyway.
Well, I mean, it's a giant robo.
Yeah. After that, she's wandering around looking for clues and whatnot.
Jinkies!
Jinkies, she says.
As she gets attacked.
She gets attacked by our evil robo, the most predictable possible character, the otherwise no characteristics to him handyman, Quinn.
Oh, no. Quinn is now shown to be evil. I love that before this even happens, like after the whole sex scene, Tyson gets out of bed while the other lady is like still in bed, runs to another room, punches the glass out of a case and grabs a rifle out of the case and runs out like as if he had a sixth sense that something was going down.
Yeah.
He's like, now that I've had my fuck on, I understand now. I must get the gun.
So, okay, he has sex with the school teacher. Let's keep that in mind because, I mean, spoiler alert, you know. Anyway, pushing forward, it turns out that this Quinn guy is the big bad Robo, and he's, for some reason, he's doing a bad Jim Carrey thing now. Everything he says is shtick at this point.
It's very strange. They're like, oh, before you were very, like, mild-mannered and mm-hmm. nebbish-ish, but now, oh, now that you're evil, you've come out of your shell, and you basically had the full Riddler go on you, where instead of a regular dude, you're like, I got to make pop culture references and dance around and, like, giggle about how evil I am.
Let's make cookies, fat man, he says at one point. And it's like, what are you talking about?
Come on, dude.
Let's just calm it down.
You ain't got to do lines.
None of this is necessary.
You ain't Freddy Krueger, my man. We ain't need you to bring the comedy.
Once you decided to kill all these humans, you could have just turned off the electricity and left. They would have cooked in there.
Yeah, you are a synthetic human. You could have walked outside, broke the electricity you just fixed, and took the bike and left.
Yeah, you would have been perfectly fine because you're a robo.
And they would have all cooked in the thermal.
Yeah, but instead he's decided to turn into the bad murderer.
Well, you know, it's way more fun if you kill people with your hands.
So he basically exposits for a little bit. He's picked up Erin by the neck and he's like, I'm going to snap her neck because she's a human. And then she's like, what? And he says, get this. It was your idea. You see, all I was sent here to do was kill the old man. But then you started talking about self-preservation, and I thought, that's a good idea. You see?
And I thought, spinning, that's a good trick.
It gets so dumb from here, because he's like, that's a great idea, thank you. And so you see, there's a little tiny chip in my brain that does something, but now it doesn't do it anymore, so I'm going to murder all of you.
I had the Jiminy Protocol.
That's
it's
right.
My conscience. But I ain't got no conscience no more. Oh, whoop, doop, doobity doo.
So they shoot him a bunch with the rifle, which is the only thing that happens to anything in this movie from this point forward. This fucking rifle is the most boring aspect of this film.
Yeah, unfortunately, like, there's no cool ways to try and fight this robo. Like, at least in Terminator, it was, we used guns, and that was shit, and that didn't work. So we have a lot of cool, like, chase scenes, and we get to use, like, actual machinery for it, and they're in a fucking, like, abandoned factory, basically. You'd think there would be a place where they could do anything. They're like, oh, we put them into some room, and it boiled some of the skin off, but that would, I don't know, require a budget, so we didn't.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, he gets stabbed in the face and shot in the face, and it doesn't reveal any robo parts on him. They just put some generic fake blood
effects.
Yeah, he
just gets bloody.
That's all. It's so fucking cheap. And then he basically goes, okay, well, I don't want to kill you right away, so we'll play a game of hide and seek, he says, to run off. He says, and then he runs off and kills everyone else who doesn't know he's a robo yet.
Yeah, so he goes and kills Winston first.
Tears his arm off.
Yeah, which, like you said, the whole thing with him killing Winston, he's like, hey, fat guy, you want cookies? Fatty? I don't really have a lot of good material for this. I'm sorry.
I'm very new to being a wackadoo serial killer robo.
I didn't get that Nightmare on Elm Street protocol, so
yeah.
I don't really got good puns for this.
Hey, fat guy, you like eating food? Well, eat a food on this.
He, like, tears the guy's arms off and, like, walks away, and then 10 minutes later he's like, oh, can I give you a hand? Fuck, I forgot. Damn it.
Oh, shit. I got to write these down for if I kill any more fat guys specifically by tearing their arms off.
Damn it. I really got to just make a list of these and find, like, scenarios where I can use them.
I should have just Pillsbury Doughboyed him, except kept pushing until my arm came out the other side. That would have been funny. It would have been That would yeah. Okay. I got to go kill a fat guy.
Okay. Note to self. Kill more fat guys.
So that guy dies, and then he kills one of the two prosties by finding her in the shower. It turns out the two prostitute ladies in this movie will just sleep with whoever asks them to immediately without any discussion of payment or whatever.
Yeah.
Because he just walks up behind her in the shower and she's like, oh, it's you, Quinn. I was definitely...
Oh, no, it's... Oh, those hands aren't big enough to be, like, Walter or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, who could this be?
Yeah.
And she doesn't even care. She's like, oh, someone came and put their hands over my eyes in the shower. This doesn't freak me out. Please have sex with me.
Yeah. And just to be really disgusting here, let's talk about how this movie appears to pixelate out her nipples.
Yeah, there's a weird thing where...
Because she's nude. This is a topless shot. This is your film's one moment of toplessness.
But it's like just blurred out, like there's just two blurred circles
where
the
nipples
would be.
It's like when you're watching shitty anime and they do the thing where they censor it by just putting light flares there. Like it's fucking J.J. Abrams' professional censor.
Yeah, but this is just...
blur.
Just blur. Someone used the blur tool on her nips.
Fucking Damon Albarn shows up and just stands in the way.
And instead of, like, killing her then when she's like, oh, who is it? And, like, snapping her neck. He has sex with her for, like, 15, 20 seconds and then kills her.
It's like, what is this even... What's? I guess we need to know that robos can fuck.
Yeah, well, he is fully functional.
Yeah, that's pretty much. Plus, his ass can be used as a flotation device.
Indeed.
But it doesn't just kill her by punching her or something like that. He holds onto her, and then he grabs the shower head. Now, I know what you're thinking. Something cool's about to happen. Like, he's going to ram her the back of her head into the shower head or something. Instead, apparently, that shower head has a strong electrical charge running through it, but not in a way that the water coming out of it is electrified in any way.
No, first you have to connect the circuit of hand-on faucet and then hand-on human?
On human. And then a big shock comes out and kills her, but not him. And then she falls down, and he lets go of the electrified, but still, again, safe to take showers out of, shower head.
Yeah, that was probably the most confusing thing in this.
It was hard to even tell what was happening exactly.
Pretty sure
we got this right. He used his super robot power of conductivity.
Yeah, of not dying from electricity, which... you'd think, as a synthoid, you'd be like, oh, this is one of the danger things for me.
Yeah, if nothing else, he's got skin on him. That's how he can fucking bleed and shit. You'd think he's going to get some electrical burns or something from doing nonsense like that, but no.
Or even fuck up his circuitry, because he does take a microchip out of his head at one point.
Yeah.
So you'd think maybe that might fry something.
But no, it doesn't, because this movie's boring. And then I think that's all he manages to kill at this point. There's the other prostie dies at some point, and I genuinely don't remember how.
He... shows up with a rifle, does
oh, that's right.
Quinn.
Yeah.
And he's going to shoot the teacher lady. And for some reason, the prostitute, like, jumps in front of it and pushes her out of the way.
Yeah. Now, that's a really weird moment. Because you know what? Fuck it. The other robo that's hiding away in this fucking place is the school teacher.
Yes, indeed.
So she, at this point, is a robo that has done the bleed scene without having to create a distraction right afterwards.
Yeah.
And she's had sex with someone she'd like to kill and hasn't killed him. Like, she could have killed him at any point during that time period.
Again, she wasn't told to kill anyone.
Yeah, then how come she decides to kill him at the end? It doesn't make any sense. There's a point in the end where it's like, oh, and I'm the shock reveal. I'm going to try and kill you. It's like, why?
I feel like she must have gotten the crash and burn code later.
Because
there is another scene later on where we do see another screen getting gibberish nonsense.
Yeah, but she has to... I guess maybe she doesn't have to see it. Maybe it's just broadcast
yeah,
wirelessly.
It's just a broadcast signal.
Okay, I guess. So anyway, she's the other robo. So one robo was about to kill the other one.
And a human gets in the way and dies.
Mm-hmm. So there you go. She dies. We're down to who's left at this point. It's the bad robo.
It's Tyson, Aaron,
and the bad robo.
Teacher and bad robo.
Yeah, the bad guy and the two women he'd be willing to have sex with. and the good guy and the two women the good guy be willing to have sex with.
Yeah, well, I mean, the bad guy be willing to have sex with whoever.
Uh-huh, and then he'd kill them.
Yeah, obviously.
Mm-hmm. So they kind of escape in a truck.
Yeah, they're like, all right, well, fuck it. Even if there's a thermal... we'll try and drive this truck to the place that he had visited at the beginning of the movie. He's like, hopefully we can get to there.
Now, they go driving around outside in broad daylight, and nothing ever happens about the sun ever again. It just doesn't. After they're like, we're in a truck. It's like, what about the whole ultraviolet sun thing? Eh.
No, the whole thing of, oh, there's a thermal. What does that mean? Absolutely nothing. It's not like they went outside and... they had to have, like, oh, we had this, like, covering over us to get to the truck, or someone exposed their arm for a minute and it started to, like, bubble and boil or whatever.
Yeah, just nothing instead.
There is a point where, like, one of the humans, Tyson, is just outside hanging out.
Yeah, he gets stuck under, like, a railroad tie or something, and there's no point, and he's in direct sun, stuck under some railroad tie, and there's no point where he's like, ah, the sun!
No, it's... the fucking the satellite dish crashes, and he gets caught under the nonsense
from
that.
The gantry.
And, like you say, he's just sitting there. He's not like, oh, it's burning, it's so hot. Like, not even, oh, this metal is so hot. Just, hey, my foot's caught. You guys, can I
help me with
help?
With my foot, please.
My foot, you guys.
So at this point, the bad robo jumps on their truck, and they fight for a while, and then they stop, and he falls off. Then the robot and Tyson get stuck under that gantry from the satellite dish, and this is when Erin reveals her secret superpower. She can control the big robo, and the thing I predicted way back at like minute 10 of this movie, which is the good robo is going to get stepped on. Or sorry, the bad robot is going to get stepped on by that giant robot, and that'll be all it ever does.
Yep. So all it does is lift up that gantry.
It's got the funniest little sad eyes.
Oh, my God. The lights on its eyes on this is just like, oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
I'm so sad to be here. I'm a giant robot.
Here I am, brain the size of a planet.
Yeah, just sad giant robo picks up the gantry and then steps on the bad robo. And then breaks down immediately.
Uh-huh, and that's the end of that. That's as much as you ever get to see of this thing.
That is the budget that we had.
You never see it all in one shot at one time.
Nope. You get the arm, you get the top half occasionally, you get mm-hmm. the foot, but there's no, like, here's this robot walking around.
I'll step on the bad guy. Thanks for noticing me.
I suppose if you need me to,
I'll be waiting at Milliways, the restaurant at the end of the universe.
Yeah, that's it. That's it for the robo.
Parking cars. Yeah, so there you go. That's what that's the giant robot that you were promised, and there it is. It steps on the bad robot. Duh.
They go back inside at this point, and
Erin has run away and hid, but she's left a note behind.
Yeah. Tyson finds this note that says, there are two.
Mm-hmm.
And then gets attacked immediately by the teacher. And I have to wonder, when did she find this out exactly?
And why did someone send a message to her telling her to kill everyone there? Like, okay, this doesn't make any sense because the first robot gets his command from the crash burn protocol, whatever, which is kill this old man.
Yeah.
Then he goes on a weird murderous rampage on his own where he removes his own conscience and turns into a murderer and just runs around killing people. Then, apparently, the people who sent out the crash burn virus to override him send out another one that's like, hey, kill people who might still be there. We're not sure what's going on there, I guess.
Yeah, it's not like there are cameras or anyone has called Unicom or anything. It's
no.
Just like, we sent out another one just, you know, in case.
Just kill whoever. Don't worry about it. Yeah, this is your second set of super specific instructions from the evil corporation. Kill some guys, I guess.
Kill whatever.
So she does a murder fight with this guy where she's like, don't you want to kiss me one last time? Which I guess would be a cool, creepy line if she was like a robot face
or
something.
If she had like half of her face blown off or something, then that would be kind of cool.
But instead, there's nothing.
Or if she was like robo hand on his throat, anything.
Yeah.
But no, she just still looks like a good-looking lady and is like, don't you want to kiss me one more time? And he's like, yeah, kind of.
Sort of. I mean, I'm kind of into being choked a little bit.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
If I'm going to go, I may as well go like this.
Yeah, let's discuss safe words and then let's get to it. But anyway, she, unlike her male robo counterpart who eats a ton of shotgun blast before he's stepped on, she dies to the first thing that shoots her at all. Her head explodes like a toaster in an old video.
Yeah, Quinn gets shot in the head with a shotgun. And he just kind of goes, ugh, and a bit of his, like, the side of his head comes off and it's bloody.
Mm-hmm.
She gets shot with a shotgun and her head explodes.
Like a varmint being shot with a hollow point.
Varmint!
Yeah, so she explodes completely, and then we cut to the, I guess, the supposed to look badass scene at the end of the movie.
Yeah, the two of them are at that little gas station thing from before.
Mm-hmm. Except now one of them, the girl is wearing badass sunglasses.
Yeah.
And then she gets in a phone booth and she's like, we know who you are. And then, like, you know, a Rage Against the Machine starts. Yeah, that's what it is. It's not the Rage song. It's Dire Straits.
Yeah. Walk of Life starts playing.
Yeah, that starts playing.
But the weird thing to me is, they are both at this gas station, and she kind of lies and is like, oh, yeah, my grandpa's fine, and he's better than ever, and we're going to go do whatever. And you kind of get the idea that they're going to go join some ILU, like, cell somewhere.
Yeah, it just stands for I love you. I just realized that.
Yeah, some I love you cell.
Uh-huh.
And they leave without helmets? Like, it's just sunglasses and the suits?
In a truck.
No, they're on the fucking bike.
Are they? I thought they were in a truck at the end, because I remember seeing a truck drive away.
Yeah, they just don't have protection for
face or
head.
They don't. They're driving a truck with no windshield in it, if nothing else.
If nothing else.
Yeah, and so they're And here you think, all right, the two of them are going to get in this badass truck and speed away. But instead, they stop and have a good 7-minute conversation about what they're going to do now. They're like, do you still know the way to Bakersfield? Yes, I do know the way to Bakersfield. Oh. What you want to do is take about a mile drive east, and then there's going to be a service road that'll take
it. We don't want to take the main roads because Unicom would be looking for us. So there's a dirt road you can take. And you're like, I don't need these details.
Yeah.
You could have just driven off.
And they just keep talking for a long time. And then finally, after all this discussion what they're going to do next, they do drive off for forever.
Oh, yeah. There's like a full minute of just watching a car leave. And you're like, I get it.
Hmm.
I can't even see the car anymore. Please stop.
We're even at the bridge part of the Dire Straits song at this point. It's just that Mark Knopfler being, and after all the violence and double talk. And you're like, wow, this has been playing for a long time.
Going, man.
Trouble with this trouble and the strife. Wow, I can't believe this hobo is still singing. Like, there's a point where the truck disappears over the horizon, and then the smoke starts to fade, and the smoke disappears over the horizon.
Yeah.
And then Mark Knopfler starts the next song on the album.
Ah!
the movie install microwave ovens.
The movie fades to black, then fades back up again, and we get another few minutes of watching
You're
that.
Always my brothers in arms. Just so many Dire Straits songs.
Yeah, it's weird, right?
Love struck Romeo. He just keeps going.
We were the Sultan's swing.
Then there you go. I don't think any of us can name any more Dire Straits.
There's all the Dire Straits songs we know.
And that's the end of the movie.
Yep, there you go. That is Crash and Burn for you.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go ahead and give our best and worst moments of the movie. Jeff, what would you say is the best moment in this?
Okay, the best moment in this boring movie where nothing actually happens.
This assballs movie where they took a concept and then removed everything useful from it.
I'm going to say the first minute or so when he's in the conversation with the old gas station attendant and they're like setting up a cool post-apocalyptic world.
You get that background TV information the guy.
There's cool news on TV about the crazy shit that's happening all over the planet and the terrible kinds of warnings. You get to see a giggling mutant man who's become so dumb from the sun that he's like crazy. And it was like, oh, this is going to be fun. This is going to be a fun post-apocalypse thing and not a boring movie set in a fucking factory.
Yeah, what a fun, not quite Mad Max you've got here.
Yeah, this might actually be fun to watch. John, what was your favorite thing?
I want to say my favorite scene in this was, God, I really want to say it's the scene where fucking Lathan dies just for that whole, you, but why are you here? Oh my, you are attacking me! Fucking love those scenes.
And why can I only see your boot? And it's not the boot the murderer wears.
And it's not the boot you're thinking of.
Did you change boots for this one murder?
You indeterminate person that is here. Yeah, I love those. I love those scenes every time they come up.
They're always great. When it's like the only scene in the movie that's shot first person, and here it is.
Here we go. We found it.
Yeah.
So that's my favorite. What is the worst moment of this movie for you?
Let's see. The worst moment of this movie is the blood cut reveal scene where they just straight up ape the thing and do nothing with it at all.
Oh, it's so fucking disappointing.
It's 5 minutes of fucking nothing.
Yeah, it's a huge setup to no payoff.
It's like, hey, you know all that cool tension from the electric wires and the burning and the blood, and then one person freaks out and turns into a monster all of a sudden, and it's an amazing scene from the thing, and you really think about it. Well, what if that scene, but instead of anything happening, nothing.
Well, then, huh?
Nothing happens. Think about how tense it'll be for the rest of the movie. You'll still be like,
if nothing happened and we established no stakes.
Yeah. So that's definitely the worst thing. Because it's just blind aping of a way better thing.
Good.
Mm-hmm. You?
The worst moment for me is definitely the, and I'm only 16.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. At least they never get together.
No, there is no point where she, like, kisses or does anything with anyone.
Yeah.
Which was my just sincere dread after she was like, I'm 16. And I'm just looking at this movie going, I swear to God, if this ends with the two of you, like, even making out will piss me off. But if you, like, hook up more than that, I am going to be full of hate.
Yeah, I mean, especially because we looked it up on IMDb right away and the actor was 23. So we were like, she's not 16. She's just saying she's 16 for no reason. Just
whoever wrote this was like, oh, I need someone to be 16 for this.
You know what's hot is 16-year-olds. I have prurient interest in that. Ugh. It'd be like how famously Marion Ravenwood was supposed to be like 14 years old. That was going to be a story in Indiana Jones, is that Marion Ravenwood was supposed to be basically a kid, and then the movie was going to play out exactly the same as it does.
Wow.
That was what, I think it was Lucas who wanted that, and I think it wasn't even it wasn't even Spielberg who pulled it back. It was someone else who was like, no.
Look,
no,
guys, no.
No. She's 19, bottom line.
Jesus, no. So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say that, not only because it's kind of grody, but also pointless, because nothing came of her being 16.
Well,
there was
a bunch
no
of jokes
about
how her boobs aren't big yet.
But there was nothing it added specifically to the movie that you're like, oh, she needed to be 16. She could have been 18, and nothing in this movie would have been different.
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
Anyway, that's my least favorite. We're going to do our rating of the movie. We're going to give it a 0 to 5. Gives it the rating out of 10. Jeff?
0.5.
Oof,
this was really
oof,
boring.
Ouch, my bones.
Normally I would give something like this maybe a 1 or a 1.5 for just kind of being boring and not really serviceable and nothing happens, but I'm subtracting points for lying to me.
That's true. This fucking movie told me there was going to be a giant robo fight, and there was no giant robo fight.
Yeah, so it's losing points for dishonesty, and that's why I'm giving it a straight up 0.5.
There you go.
So that's my vote, and I'm sticking to it. And you?
I'll give it a 1. It's not quite bad enough to give the 0.5,
mm-hmm.
but I'm still, I mean, it's very disappointing as a movie, because it sets up so many things that you could have done horror movie-wise and doesn't do them.
Or Mad Max-type stuff, and it doesn't do anything with that.
And like it sets up giant robot stuff and doesn't do it.
They keep talking about crazed mutant wastoids out in the desert. You never see any of those.
No, this movie is all set up with the least amount of payoff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to give it a 1 for that, because it was just sort of, why? Why did you do this?
If this was a porno, this would all be about the pizza boy getting the pizza made and then driving it to the house.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, I don't have money, but hold on, let me check my bank account. And then
credits.
hold on, I think I must have changed my password. Let me call the bank.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
Do any of you guys have money? This is a real embarrassing situation. Oh, sure, hon. And then, like, her grandfather comes out.
Hey,
let's buy a pizza.
Like, look, I got places to be. If you ain't got the money, I can always come back later.
Maybe we could work something else out. Well, I'm not sure what you're talking about, Sonny, but I'm willing to listen.
Oh, we take PayPal is what I'm saying.
I'm not familiar with that. Can I Venmo you the money?
I mean, I guess.
Yeah, that's what this is.
That is what this movie
is. If this was a porn, it would be that.
So there you go. A 1.5 out of 10 for Crash and Burn.
Do not watch. There are way better movies from Full Moon Films features you can watch.
Oh, yeah. This is just a waste of a film all around.
Mm-hmm.
But
go watch Robot Jocks, which is what we were hoping this was.
Oh, yeah, I was really hoping this was Robot Jocks, too.
Yeah.
But no.
So go watch the original Robot Jocks instead of this, and then also The Thing and Alien.
Yeah, go watch good movies. Mm-hmm. Don't watch these movies.
Yes.
That's our job.
That's our job. That's what we do, so you don't have to.
That's right. Thank you so much for listening to Movie Mastery. If you like what you hear, you want to support us, you want to help us keep doing what we're doing, we don't do ads, we don't do anything else, we've just got a Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/systemmastery, you can find us there, you can support us at any level, anything helps us out, and if you listen to any of our other shows, the System Mastery, Expounded Universe, anything like that, we've got bonus content you can unlock, and we've got even more coming in the future. So we have a lot of stuff we really want to do, and all of it relies on the support of you listeners.
Yeah, without the help of folks like you, we would have stopped this show years ago because we wouldn't have had a choice. But thanks to folks who have been donating to our show, we've been able to keep it going, make a living out of it, raise a baby. It's all coming.
Between the two of us, we've been raising a baby.
It's true. We've been making a man with blonde hair and a tan.
Why don't you come up to the lab?
Can I see what's on the slab?
No.
Anyway, no. The Aurora Borealis. So anyway, thank you so much. And please, if you're not already supporting us, please do. And then thank you for that.
Yeah. And if you want to find anything else, if you're not listening to other shows, you can find everything at systemmasterypodcast.com. All of our shows, all of our things, including the poll for the next In Theaters Now, which is going to be up. Go to systemmasterypodcast.com. And go to the Movie Mastery tab, and in theaters now, you'll find the poll for what we are going to watch for this month in theaters. And otherwise, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, everything.
We Gmail, are, Reddit, all those places.
Yeah, we're System Mastery everywhere, and you can suggest new movies to the big list at reddit.com/rsystemmastery. The big movie list is a sticky thread.
Uh-huh. Also, we have another list for our favorite Dire Straits songs, so if you want to add to that...
There's only five, and there will never be any more.
Probably not.
Thank you so much for listening again. We will be back in another couple weeks with more Movie Mastery, and until then, you have a good one.